Do you have an idea for a podcast, but you don't know where to start? Maybe you're overwhelmed by all the tech or you're convinced nobody will actually listen to you. Well, I'm Shauna Game. After 9.5 years as a professional podcaster, at this show, Everyone's Talking Money, and 25 million downloads later, let me tell you the secret to a profitable podcast. It is building a solid foundation, your podcast roadmap before you launch. That's why I created the Podcaster Class, a fast-paced group cohort podcasting for profit 8-week style MBA program. The Podcaster Class is immersive, comprehensive, and insanely motivational. If you want to create a podcast, DIYing a launch is just not the way to go. In the Podcaster Class, you'll get the tools, tips, and strategies to create a podcast that resonates with listeners and one you can be proud of. Get this, 90% of podcasters never make it to episode 3. That's 2.8 million podcasters who just quit. So to be a top podcaster, you only need to publish 21 episodes, but you got to make them good. So in the Podcaster Class, I'm taking the mystery out of how to create, launch, and profit from your podcast so you can create a top 1% podcast just like this one. The May cohort is now open for enrollment. Classes start May 22nd. There are only 15 spots open. You are going to learn podcasting with me and 14 other amazing people. You can learn all the details at thepodcasterclass.com. Use code podcast when you sign up for $100 off. That's thepodcasterclass.com. I'm going to be real with you. Identity theft is on the rise, and you do not want to wake up one morning and discover that your bank account has been emptied, or you're overdue on credit cards you never even applied for. We talk about this often on the podcast, but you don't realize how much of your information is available to scammers on the internet and how susceptible you and your family are to identity theft and fraud. I know, it's scary, but now you can get your data removed with Delete Me. That's why I personally choose Delete Me. Delete Me is a subscription service that removes your personal information from the largest people search databases on the web, and in the process helps prevent potential ID theft, doxing, and phishing scams. I just started using Delete Me and I got my regular personalized privacy report. I was shocked what they found and removed. It was pages of information about me that I did not want online. Here's how it works. You sign up and provide Delete Me with exactly what information you want deleted, and their experts take it from there. I cannot tell you how relieved I felt to have Delete Me. And you know, it's also a great service for your parents or grandparents to help protect them from identity theft. Delete Me is not just a one-time service. Delete Me is always working for you, constantly monitoring and removing the personal information you do not want on the internet. Take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me, now at a special price for my listeners. Today, get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and use promo code ETM at checkout. The only way you get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and enter code ETM at checkout. joindeleteme.com/ETM. Go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and use code ETM for 20% off. Hey, I'm Shauna Compton Game. This is Millennial Money, and today we have a Millennial Music Chat with Ben Rue.
Millennial Money with Shauna Compton Game. It will expand your brain.
Hey there, and welcome to another edition of Lifestyle Thursday for Millennial Money. Growing up on a seed farm in Oregon, singer-songwriter Ben Rue had a couple of dreams he could have chased, playing baseball or music. Fortunately for his growing country music fan base, he chose the singing dream. On his latest album, Back to Nights, Ben continues chasing those country music dreams with an impressive collection of catchy tunes, including the chart-climbing single, Making Out, which details an ex that just won't let it go. Not only a singer, Ben is also a champion advocate in raising awareness with young people who daily battle type 1 diabetes, as he has since age 14. Check out our chat with rising country music singer-songwriter and all-around nice dude, Ben Rue, We talked about his daily diabetes routine, how proud he is of his new album, Back to Nights, and his upcoming Guitarbecue show with one of country music's hottest artists, Brett Eldredge.
You're probably thinking I'm home, still thinking about you. Lower than that last little pole of Johnny Walker Blue. Now you're lighting my phone, maybe make things right. But all of your missed calls are gonna stay missed tonight. Girl, you're the one who walked out and you're calling me now. If you wanna know how, I'm making it out.
Okay, Ben, so thanks for coming on the show. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely, man. It's good to be with you.
Awesome. Well, so growing up as a kid, you had kind of had two loves, baseball and singing. Did you always kind of lean towards one, or was it kind of, you know, always had a love for both?
You know, I have two older brothers, and we were always playing sports, whether it was basketball or football or baseball. And so I definitely leaned more towards baseball because that was just, you know, that's just what we did, you know. I kind of fell in suit what they were doing. And so since about 7 or 8, I was playing up through high school and college.
Right. And then, so tell us about when you kind of made the transition. So you went, you played college baseball. And when did you make the transition between, you know, baseball and then actually pursuing singing for the full time? When did you have that kind of aha moment?
I told you I have an older brother, one of them, and he started playing guitar, and I was like, you know, if he can do something, I can do, you know, anything he can do, I can do better.
Right, exactly.
So I started kind of teaching myself via YouTube and just followed some people, and I was always big into country music, and so that was during college, just kind of in my downtime, and started writing songs in college. But it wasn't until I played baseball in college and I had an opportunity to play a year in Michigan with an independent team out there. Yeah. And it wasn't until I was let go from that team that I came back to the farm, and I was like in Oregon, and I was like, you know, I'm not really feeling this right now. I need, you know, and I picked up my guitar again and started playing, and that was when I really felt, you know, that passion again for something.
Gotcha. And then, I mean, were you always, I read that you were kind of singing as a kid on the farm and you kind of would catch the singing, but were you always singing in bands and stuff like that as well too?
No. I guess I would sing in like school programs, Christmas programs, you know. I sang NSYNC at a 6th grade talent show in middle school and sang in the high school talent show. But yes, you're right. My dad did catch me many times when I was supposed to be working or driving equipment, expensive, heavy equipment, you know, getting sidetracked.
It passes the time, right? When you're, you know, kind of working like that.
You know, you would be surprised how many things you try to find to pass your time while in a combine. Or, you know, back then we were driving 1.2 miles per hour in our combine. So doing that from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. gets a little bit boring from time to time.
Right, exactly. When did you think that, like, you know, I think I have the goods to kind of, like, you know, pursue this professionally and stuff?
I didn't know. I always loved singing and I always loved playing. I didn't know that, you know, if I was any good, because I never really played out or sang out. And my mom would tell me I'm good, but that's just a mom being a mom.
Exactly.
But I guess it wasn't until I auditioned for the first season of The X Factor whenever it was in the U.S. and made it through to the top 80, I think. That was just before I had moved to Nashville, and that kind of gave me the confidence I need, the reassurance that, you know, I can do this.
Right. So when you mentioned before that you're from outside of Portland area, in Oregon there, which that's, you know, Portland's kind of known for like an indie music scene. How were you drawn to country music, and what were you kind of listening to growing up as well?
Yeah, I mean, there's really not in Portland itself, there's not a huge country scene.
Yeah.
I grew up about, you'd be surprised though, because Oregon itself is very rural and country. Mm-hmm. It's just because of Portland and Eugene. It's a very like blue state.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
But I mean, as a state, country music is very alive, and mm-hmm. and people love their music, their country music out there. They're Garth Brooks, they're George Strait, and Alan Jackson, and Diamond Rio. That's all the stuff that I grew up listening to as a kid, and that's stuff that I try to reflect in my music now.
Right, and then those are some of the ones that kind of inspired you to be a like singer songwriter and stuff.
Yeah, as far as like the like I love Garth Brooks' stories that he mm-hmm. he tells and Alan Jackson, and I love the harmonies and Diamond Rio and Restless Heart and Blackhawk, and so it's just making my own flair, using those as you know, stuff to feed off of.
Right. Well, it also seems, too, these days that country music, you know, is kind of evolving. There's so many different, almost, you know, genres and types of it. Can you describe kind of your sound? Like, what do you kind of consider your, you know, country music version?
Yeah, it is funny, right? There's all sorts of different sublists of country
exactly.
music now.
Exactly.
I'd like to just say that I got a little contemporary, but with a little bit of 90s flair. It's that you know, rural country, good old boy music. I mean, I grew up listening to out in the combine.
Right. What you mentioned before, the X Factor that you guys auditioned for when we're on. How did that experience kind of make you kind of want to go, you know what, I got to pursue this and I want to go to Nashville because Nashville is the place to really pursue this? Like what kind of made you do that? And what did you kind of learn from that experience?
I learned a lot from that experience, not all good stuff. You know, being a part of reality television is a whole beast in itself.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of things I could speak of towards that, but, I really think it was there. So we had four judges. We had L.A. Reid, Nicole Scherzinger.
Yeah, exactly.
Paula Abdul and Simon Cowell.
Yeah.
And, you know, L.A. Reid wasn't really big into me, but he's more of a pop guy. But Simon was the most interested in what I had going, and like he was, you know, and his British voice was like, I would love to work with you then. And, you know, so that gave me the confidence, like, you know, yeah. He was the one that while I was there the whole time, he was my biggest advocate. And so, you know, I met him a couple times and he really like had great things to say about me, which he's seen the best talent in the world. And he's considered, you know, the best talent scout ever.
Yeah.
So that meant a lot coming from him.
Right. Yeah. He discovered that One Direction kind of guy. Did you learn a lot of kind of like that kind of stuff like that? Because you now open also for a lot of different bigger acts. I mean, are those kind of things you always kind of take with you too, to kind of feel like, you know, like you belong there?
Yeah. I mean, there's so many people, like we had talked before, there are 150 plus people a day move to Nashville.
Yeah.
And a lot of them are in the music industry and, mm-hmm. and hope to be a big star. So, you know, there's a lot of great talent in this town, but yeah, that definitely meant a lot. And it means a lot being able to be out on tour with those guys. And, you know, I'm not just watching, I'm not just opening for them. I'm studying and I'm doing homework. You know, I'll record them and go back to my band and say, hey, and they're the same way too. I mean, they'll record something and they'll be like, you know, this was really great, this transition from here to here. Like the way they closed the show was sick. We need to do something like that. And just so mm-hmm. every time we open, we're growing as a band.
Right. And you know, you have to really kind of take it seriously that it's a business too. Now, you're not just an artist and, you know, I mean, you're kind of doing your own thing. So, I mean, like, what kind of stuff have you kind of learned on the business side since moving to Nashville?
You know, the biggest thing that I've learned is to take control of your own business, because no one is going to be your biggest advocate but yourself, and no one's really going to do anything for you unless you're doing it for yourself. And, you know, it's just like any other business. No one wants to jump on board unless they see it growing, unless they see it moving in a forward direction. So I at first when I got here, I was kind of just I had to learn a lot. You know, I wasn't sure, do I just sing and then let someone else steer my shit for me? Or
yeah.
No, like, it took me quite a few crashes and burns to realize, you know, this is my business, and I'm going to have to do it myself if I want it to grow.
Right. And do you think it's kind of easier these days too with social media and, you know, and video and YouTube and stuff like that?
The opportunity is easier to reach people, but that's a double-edged sword too, because that means that there's so many more people out there. So, I mean, it's so flooded with singer-songwriters and with, you know, people who can just release music. And you know, just like I do, you don't necessarily, it's not about your voice anymore. It's about how many fans you have and your likability. And, you know, there's a whole bunch of stuff that go into it. So it's a double-edged sword.
Yeah, and I actually interviewed a while ago an older, you know, punk band and the female singer, and she was telling me that, you know, with social media, she hates social media. And she's like, you know, back then, because she was a poet, she wasn't really a singer. She could just sing and nobody's recording her. So it's like, she got the practice and stuff like that. So yeah, it is a double-edged sword these days that people could be recording you and go, wow, check out this dude, you know? I mean, I know.
I can't imagine being a big shot celebrity and everything you,
right.
I mean, like LeBron James, I was watching SportsCenter, every little tweet he puts on just gets blown up.
Exactly.
Gee, my Christmas.
right.
Get me off the grid for a week.
Right, exactly.
In those moments when money is just not moving as fast as your dreams, Earnin provides the financial momentum you need to keep moving forward. Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. You just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then you access up to $100 a day as you work, and you can leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. I honestly would use Earnin in lots of different ways, but what's on my mind recently is I need a night out. I need some good tacos to sip on a few virgin margaritas and celebrate you all helping this podcast earn 26 million downloads. Make Earnin a part of your financial routine and join Earnin's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, when I think about Earnin, I think about financial stability and security. Gives me a lot of peace of mind. Download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in Talkin' Money under podcast when you sign up. It will really help the show. Talkin' Money under podcast. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank, subject to your available earnings, daily max, pay period max, and location. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank & Trust, member FDIC. I'm sorry, but I have the best dog ever. Her name is Winnie Stardust. She is a mini golden mountain doodle full of life, and I would do just about anything to keep her happy, healthy, and safe. Today's episode is sponsored by the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program. Your pet is part of your family, and you want to do the best for them, but vet bills can really add up. We jokingly keep telling Winnie she needs to get a job to pay for her vet bill. That's why you should check out pet insurance. And with ASPCA Pet Health Insurance, you can focus on the care your pet deserves and cover what matters most. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customized accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. They allow you to customize your plan, helping to ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are. Because vet bills can really add up, especially when you are least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim and you'll receive reimbursement for eligible vet bills directly into your bank account. To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. Again, that's aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independent American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer, is not engaged in the business of insurance. Okay, friend, I want to know, what are your money goals this year? Are you saving to buy a house or maybe a wedding or a dream vacation to somewhere tropical? If that's you, please, please take me with you. Or maybe you want to just grow your emergency fund because, let's be real, life is expensive. I want to make sure you reach your goals, so you need Monarch. That's why the Wall Street Journal named it the best app for growing your savings. Monarch is the top-rated, all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. You can create custom budgets, track progress towards your financial goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/etm. Here's what I love. Monarch is the most customizable budgeting app. You can change the layout of your dashboard. You can go between light and dark mode. You can create custom budgets and notifications. You can set up all of these automatic rules for your transactions and notifications, and so much more. Monarch is obsessed with constantly improving their product. Get this. They release updates every 2 weeks, and they even allow customers to submit suggestions, vote on requested features, and view the product roadmap. This, my friend, is totally original. Plus, they will never sell your data to third party or show you ads. I think that's really important. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it is the top-rated personal finance app. And now, listeners of this show get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/etm. That's monarchmoney.com/etm for your extended 30-day free trial. When it comes to financial advice, you gotta trust the source. It's why you listen to this podcast. When I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. Before NerdWallet, I was paying for vacations all wrong. I was missing out on miles I didn't even know I was leaving on the table. Now I've got a new card with more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards? I don't know, maybe that fancy hotel upgrade that you have always been dreaming about. Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply.
Whatever you're saving up for, a CD from Sandy Spring Bank lets you grow your savings at a guaranteed rate. Right now, earn interest at 4.5% APY on an 8-month CD special or 4.25% APY on a 14-month CD special. Learn more at sandyspringbank.com/cdspecials. Minimum opening deposit to earn the annual percentage yield is $500 for the 8-month CD special and $2,500 for the 14-month CD special. Member FDIC.
Well, tell us about your new album, your collection of songs that you have on the latest album, Back to Nights.
Back to the Ninth. Yeah, it's there's 8 songs on there, and they're just kind of, I took my time on this one. It's got a ton of what I think are really great songs, but you know, they have the fun Roll Your Window Down, Cruise Through the Country songs. They have the real life breakup songs that you know, that people go through every day, and they have the meaningful songs. But I kind of pride myself in songwriting and saying things a little differently than you've heard before. So I feel like I was able to do that.
Well, and also too, on you said Skip song too. Like you have that fun single, "Making Out." I mean, what's that song about? Is that kind of a breakup song?
It is. Yeah, it's kind of a coy little response to a girl, one of those girls that, and I think we've all witnessed it or been, felt this. But when someone just won't, they'll break up with you and they just tug at your heartstring a little bit. Won't just let you go, move on. They'll just kind of try to pull you back in. But this is the response, like, I'm doing okay right now. And so you'll have to listen to it to get the full response. But I feel like I love being at the end of the chorus, you thinking, oh gosh, I wasn't expecting that.
Well, how do you like approach songwriting then? And like, what do you kind of have some ideas before you kind of write, or you just kind of, the ideas just come to you as you start writing?
Yeah, I'm that weird guy out in public who you think is like talking to himself, but like I'm in the corner singing a melody into my phone, because I have something stuck in my head. But really, like there's on my phone, I probably have 200 or 300 different melodies sung into my phone. I have like a whole notes. I downloaded the Notes app, and the whole Notes app full of ideas, and like whether that's a title or just ideas of where I want it to go. But yeah, there's no one specific way to open up a songwriting session. Sometimes a guy will bring in a riff. Sometimes I'll bring in an idea, just every day is different.
Right. So you mentioned you kind of picked this time with this album too. When's that point when you kind of go, all right, this is the collection of songs. This is the one that, like, when do you kind of go, or do you just kind of, at the end go, we have to just put it out because it would just not
exactly.
We're going to keep going.
That is the exact thing, because you will always write new songs which you think are better, or you always just keep hearing songs. Like, people will send me songs and I'm like, oh, dang, that's good. So it's definitely... you just have to come to a point where you're like, all right, these are the songs I have to go with. I believe in all these. I'm going to hear stuff that I like, and I'll probably like it better at the time because it's newer. I haven't heard it 37,000 times.
right.
But choosing songs was the most drawn out and frustrating process out of this whole thing.
Right. And when you sit in Nashville, or even, just now, I mean, do you kind of have your own, do you use only your own material, or do you kind of have a little bit of other people's material as well?
I definitely write all the time. But the cool thing about Nashville is there are so many great songwriters and so many better songwriters than me in this town. But I kind of took... I took a lot of my songs, but then I also grabbed two or three others that I just heard, and I was like, wow, I need to have that. But there's so many great songwriters in this town, and I feel like a lot of artists are too prideful and they want to just put their own music out. But I really think the cool thing about music is showcasing just the better song.
Yeah, if you have that opportunity, you might as well just take it. Mm-hmm. It's there, and look how many artists have kind of taken songs from songwriters and made it completely their own. And you always think that they wrote that.
Right. Well, that's what. Yeah. A lot of people don't understand. I think they're understanding more and more now. But most people just assume that if you sang it, then you wrote it.
You're right. Exactly. Elvis didn't write any of his music, so yeah, exactly. Well, what's been the reaction when you guys are on the road, and is that a really great satisfaction when people actually start singing your lyrics back to you?
I mean, that's what it's all about to me. That's what makes everything worth it. All of the months and months of putting music together and the money and just when I get out there and I'll get to a city that I've been to a couple times, but then I'll have two or three times as many people out there that I don't know singing lyrics that I've, right, you know, that I've written, that I remember thinking of in the writing room 6 or 7 months prior to even releasing the music. So it's cool to see that, you know, kind of the birth of the song all the way, you know, it's like a child almost, you know, you kind of just see it grow up into this cool thing. And then eventually, hopefully it'll get to major radio, something will, and, you know, I'll have thousands of people singing my songs rather than just a couple.
Right. And you guys do a little bit of mix of that. Like you do your own gigs, but you also open for some other people as well, as we mentioned. Like, who are some of the acts that you have opened for so far that you kind of went, I cannot believe I'm opening for this act?
Well, this weekend, yeah, we're opening for a guy named Dylan Scott, who just had his single My Girl hit number one. But we've had opportunities, like in August, we're going to be opening up for Brett Eldridge. Mm-hmm. And I absolutely love everything he's done. I mean, he's just like, he's really harnessed the evolving music and the social media world and just putting it all together. And I mean, he's killing the game right now. But him and Michael Ray and Chris Jansen, Devin Dawson, we're doing a show in Nashville together. But
right,
we played with Dan Perry and Eric Pathleg, Craig Campbell, and, you know, there's been a whole bunch of people, that Hunter Hayes, Jared Neiman, all just been really good people.
Right. Oh, and you, yeah, because you mentioned that show. So that's the one that's for AccuCheck, the guitar, what's it called? The Guitar BQ?
Guitar BQ, yeah.
And tell us about, yeah, right. No, like, did I get that right? Yeah. So you've struggled with diabetes since you're a teenager, right? And that's what this show is kind of about, really, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes when I was a freshman in high school at 14, and you know, it was a really tough transitional time for me, going into high school and trying to meet girls and, you know, and play sports. And, you know, then I just was thrown this curveball of diabetes. But, you know, I've learned a lot from it. I've seen the struggles, and I've also seen the cool, amazing, unexpected things to come out of it. And one of those was this partnership with AccuCheck Guide and Roche. And so, yes, this is a show coming up. We're doing a whole bunch of iHeart shows, but this is just one of them in Nashville, the Guitar BQ.
Gotcha. And then you've worked with AccuCheck before and stuff, and done a partnership with them, or?
Well, yeah, we've been working together for maybe about a year and a half, maybe. Mm-hmm. But yes, it's been a really cool opportunity to go out and share my story and share my you know, music, but also my story with diabetes and how I've grown through that and shared that with other people and other kids or adults that struggle with type 1 diabetes as well.
Right. What's like a daily thing that you kind of always have to watch yourself, especially playing sports or, you know, sweating on stage and doing things like that? Is there certain things you kind of have to watch yourself?
Yes. Well, it's just managing diabetes is the biggest struggle. And, you know, I play shows at all hours of the night. Like,
yeah,
we don't. Sometimes we don't get home till 3 a.m. So,
yeah.
The biggest thing about diabetes and managing it is routine. And with music, there is not routine. So I just, you know, I rely heavily on my AccuCheck Guide, and, you know, there's all sorts of meters out there, but that's the one that I have grown comfortable with, and it really works well for me.
Right. What is exactly check, though? What are those kind of meters actually check on your body?
Yeah, so there's like a little needle that pricks you, and then mm-hmm. it pricks a little drop of blood,
mm-hmm.
and it reads the amount of sugar in your blood, essentially.
Right.
And
right.
So normal blood sugar is 80 to 120. And mine, when I was diagnosed originally, was over 500, which seems really high. But I know I have friends that have been diagnosed with blood sugars over 1,000. So it can get a lot worse than it was for me.
Right. So and then you guys are on the road like a lot of dates in the summer and through the fall and stuff, right? Coming up.
Yeah, we're headed up to Oregon for 2.5 weeks, my hometown, but also we're playing a festival out there and a couple other shows, and then we fly from Oregon to South Carolina for a show with Big and Rich and Lauren Elena, and then the next day we fly to Nashville, and we play that Guitarbarbecue. And then we go back to Oregon. So we're kind of just everywhere. From now until November, I'm sure we'll be out just about everywhere.
Nice. So where can we actually catch or check out your music and your new album and any tour dates and stuff like that? Where's your website?
Heck yeah, go to benroommusic.com and you can they got dates on there. We'll have, there's music on there, and we have a merch store here soon on there. Not yet.
Not yet.
But then check out all the social media stuff. It's all Benroom Music.
Well, awesome. Well, thanks for coming on the show, Ben. We really totally appreciate it.
Yeah, man. It's my pleasure.
All right. Hope you've enjoyed that chat with Ben Rue. As always, you can find all the links to Ben's music in the show notes. You could find me on Twitter and Instagram at Shauna Game. And hey, if you enjoyed this episode, share it with your friends. Head on over to the link in iTunes and leave us a review.
Another night of deja vu. Just might make us lose our cool. So before we take it out on me and you, let's take it out.